Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Rand Carthon and Ryan Tannehill were out at the NFL owners' meetings in Phoenix, and Mike Vrabel sat down with the media, discussed, you know, some of the NFL rules committee, some things that they were working through, talked about the Titans and the future of the Titans. And ever since the conclusion of last season, anything that Mike Vrabel had to say or Rand Carthon had to say about Ryan Tannehill will make headlines. It has made headlines. And up to a certain point, it was my ears would perk up every single time Ryan Tannehill's name was mentioned in a discussion with Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon, because I knew that it was going to be something important, because Ryan Tannehill's status was kind of up in the air. At a certain point, it was, is Tom Brady going to be the quarterback? Is Aaron Rodgers going to be the quarterback? Or are the Titans going to trade up for a quarterback? And I think now we've kind of gotten to a point where we've heard enough from Rand Carthon and from Mike Vrabel, and we know enough about the quarterback market and the way that it's settled. We know enough about the draft and where some teams are leaning to go. And, of course, things change. Everything can change. But we kind of all agree that Ryan Tannehill is most likely going to be your quarterback in 2023. That's kind of what it feels like. So whenever I hear things from Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon, like this was Mike Vrabel at the NFL owners' meetings yesterday.
When you're looking at in the draft, in general, what are the qualities that you like to look
for? In who?
Quarterbacks.
I think leadership, you know, how these guys rally, and what the players around them, you know, how they feed off of them, their toughness, you know, accuracy, you know, do they take care of the football, you know, this, the turnover margin and the rate of success in our league is, those are too telling of a stat to not look at the way that a player protects the football. Whether that's in the pocket, whether that's scrambling, or that's when they throw it. You know, if they're putting it in harm's way, that's a tough way to win in this league. Is, you know, 75% of the teams that win a turnover margin win the game.
There's another clip in there where Mike Vrabel is asked, is Ryan Tannehill going to be your starter come September? I believe Paul Gaharski asked the question. Good question, because whenever Mike Vrabel's pushed against a wall and you give him a little leeway, he'll take that leeway. So Paul Gaharski asked him explicitly, do you expect Tannehill to be your starter? And Mike Vrabel says, yeah, of course.
I mean, of course we do. That's... We're in March, we're continuing to build a football team, the best football team we can. And Ryan's healthy, he's getting healthy. I would say that he's put the work in. It's been good to see him around the building. We always expect that. But to make predictions, I think I've been through this last year. I'm not going to commit to anybody being on roster on September. You know what I mean? I've seen it change too quickly. And of course that, you know, we want Ryan as our quarterback and everybody else that's helped us win. That's what we want.
So that kind of seems like it's what it's going to be. It's what it has been, and it's what it's going to be from Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon. It's a half commitment to Tannehill. Of course we expect Tannehill to be our starter in September. And then it's, but we can't predict that. We can't say for certain. We can't say in March who's going to be on the team in September. I think that Vrabel maybe got a little bit burned from the A.J. Brown situation.
Course.
So he's being very apprehensive about committing to anyone, whether it's Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, Jeffrey Simmons, Ryan Tannehill, or whether it's Kyle Phillips. No disrespect to Kyle Phillips. But that's what it's getting to me. These are no longer – they're no longer telling me anything. I've learned that this is what it's going to be until it's week one and Tannehill is under center and he's your starting quarterback. That's when we're going to know for certain. But to me, it's just kind of been the same thing from both of them, Vrabel and Rand Carthon. And I don't blame them, but that's what it's going to be. And to me, it's no longer, it's going to be a headline, but to me, it's no longer a headline in my mind.
It's, I don't think they want to be one. You're right. I think Vrabel, you know, feel as if, you know, I did this before. And look where it got me. Nowhere. The player that I wanted to be here, he ended up getting traded away. So I'm not going to travel down that road of, you know, guaranteeing a guy's going to be here or putting all of my emotion in it only to be, you know, because sports is ever changing and guys are changing their minds and coaches are and GMs and owners are changing their minds daily about certain things, I don't want to get myself locked in on where I see the future at with this particular person right now in March, because it can change in April or May or June. So as we start building, continuing to build our roster, and as we get closer and closer to that date, then I will start being definitive on the quarterback and everybody else. But right now we're in March. I can't do that because things may change. There may be a situation that come up that we didn't see coming up and gives us an opportunity to either draft someone or get someone through free agency, whether it's a quarterback, running back, safety, anybody. So I'm not going to fully commit and go out on a limb again like I did before. I was burned. I'm not doing that again. I've learned my lesson, and I understand it.
I think there's no question. You, as a coach, you don't want to paint yourself into a corner and then have everybody play that sound clip from March, whatever this is, and say, back in March, you said, you know, just it's not smart. You want to leave yourself a little leeway there. The thought I had as he was talking about it, you know, we forget how nasty that injury was for Ryan Tannehill. I wonder, you know, what he's going to look like next season, presuming he's the guy, right? But wherever he is, that's what we're going to be watching, is how mobile is Ryan Tannehill compared to 2 years ago?
I think it's a fair question. Mm-hmm. Injury, age, offensive line questions, all of the above, I think all play into that. Let's get your thoughts on it. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Kevin is on the line. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Doing pretty good.
I think teams are afraid of this guy. You know, MVP is not Super Bowl. You know, he hasn't really did much. So, you know, to fork out that kind of money for a guy who hasn't proven that he can go all the way to at least to the Super Bowl is a risky deal. I think teams are afraid of him.
Lamar Jackson?
Yes, Lamar. You know,
Thanks for your call, Kevin.
Actually, the injury that he obtained looked like he busted a bursa sac, which I think he could have played in the playoffs. And when he didn't play to help his team out, that didn't sit well with a lot of players, you know, and a lot of people. You don't go play for your coaches. You go play for the guys next to you.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Kevin. Fair point. And to the Lamar Jackson point, I know we're on Tannehill, but to the Lamar Jackson point, I think that there are several teams in the league mm-hmm. that would be salivating over the thought of getting Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. That would be overjoyed to have a quarterback like Lamar Jackson. But it's not just about bringing Lamar Jackson in. It's mm-hmm. about the money. It's about the injury history. It's about what you would have to give up in order to get him. It's the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. I think that any franchise in the league would have loved Aaron Rodgers. But it's not just about going out and getting Aaron Rodgers. It's about the money. It's about the picks. It's mm-hmm. about what you're investing into this quarterback and what you're going to get out of it.
Well, quickly, to the callers, to what he said, the injury history, you know, we can sort of put that to the side because Lamar didn't get injured doing things that were outside the pocket. Again, he got injured inside the pocket. And, you know, it happens to quarterbacks, whether it's Lamar or it's Ryan Tannehill. We don't consider Ryan Tannehill a runner like Lamar or whatnot, but he still got hurt. He got hurt inside the pocket. It happens. But the notion that he didn't, you know, play in the playoffs and he should have played for his team, well, he knew that the Baltimore Ravens were not giving him a contract. And he said, let's stop negotiations. I'm going to play under whatever that last year, that fifth year deal was. I'm going to play under that. Week one, he could have sat out and said, listen, they didn't give me a contract, so I'm not doing anything. You just come to the building, not be the quarterback. But instead, he chose to go out there and continue to play week one when he didn't have that guarantee, when he didn't have that big contract. He said, you know what? I'm going to go out here and play. And hopefully, you know, by my play, they will then reward me because I am doing what they're asking me to do. I'm putting myself on the line for my teammates, for the organization, for the city. He did it. He ended up getting hurt week 12. So don't count that against him. that he ends up getting hurt week 12, because he could have sat out and he would have lost his money, but he could have sat out and proved a point. Like, I'm not playing until I get a contract. But I don't want this narrative to be about Lamar that he doesn't enjoy football, that he's not going to play for his teammates. He came in under the fifth-year option when, after winning an MVP, they should have gave him a contract. I'm not saying they should have gave him a guaranteed contract, but they should have worked out a contract to make him one of the highest paid players or quarterbacks in the National Football League. They didn't. And Lamar said, okay, I'm going to go to play. I'm going to put everything on hold. I'm going to play. And he did until he couldn't play.
And they tried to. Yeah. Lamar didn't want it. Lamar wanted more.
Exactly.
And so he said, okay, fine, we'll play on the tag. And I don't think that you would label Lamar Jackson injury prone, but it's something that if you're a GM, you have to consider. Yeah.
Damned if you do and damned if you don't. Exactly. If he doesn't go out there, you hold it against him. If he goes out there and get hurt, you hold it against him.
Exactly. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I hear what Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel are saying. It's one foot in, one foot out with Ryan Tannehill. And I think that's what it's going to be until they absolutely positively have to announce a decision. But I think their minds, and at least our minds, are now in a place where, unless something happens, Ryan Tannehill is your starting quarterback in 2023. But who's the backup? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025, 1063, the game. Jonathan Hutton is with us. Hutton, what in the world are the Titans going to do at backup quarterback?
I think it's going to be a rookie. Ooh. That's my and it's not the rookie from last year. I think they will make it a competition in some way. But I absolutely would be drafting a quarterback and pairing them behind Tannehill, at least for as you start the season. I'm all on board with the idea that Tannehill's the starter this year, and then you don't owe him or Henry anything after this season, and you have a chance to develop your QB with, let's be honest, with the offensive coordinator that Vrabel tried to hire a couple of years ago when Arthur Smith left, but the Texans blocked them, and now he's got the guy, albeit he may have wanted someone else and was waiting on someone else to chat with them, and that didn't come down, so they end back up with Kelly. So I like their options for the backup QB position. And if they're drafting a quarterback in where they are at 11, that guy's going to be the starter by the end of the season, if not as we get going here based on how they move Tannehill.
That was Jonathan Hutton of Hot Mic with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow. It's going to take me some time to get used to that. Used to the new show name. On the Titans backup quarterback situation. And I will tell you, when Josh Dobbs signed with the Cleveland Browns, I thought, you gotta be kidding me. What do you mean he signed with the Cleveland Browns? I thought it was a given that mm-hmm. the Titans would bring back Josh Dobbs, at least as an option as backup quarterback. He, you know, he's a smart guy, good guy to have in the locker room, good guy to have on the sidelines. He did a fine job for you whenever Tannehill went down at the end of the season. I thought, yeah, you're going to bring Josh Dobbs back. And when they didn't, I thought, oh, no. Oh, what's the plan now? Hutton says it's going to be a rookie. My question mm-hmm. to that is, which rookie is it going to be? Is it going to be a guy you take at 11? Are you going to trade up to draft your quarterback of the future? Are you taking Stetson Bennett in the second round?
Hendon Hooker, Stetson Bennett.
But one thing is for certain, and it's TD was on with Chase and Michelle yesterday, and he gave his thoughts on what he thought the backup quarterback situation either would be or should be. And I just think that's the one avenue that I don't want the Titans to go down. This was TD.
Wasn't ready for that opportunity. How do you view the backup quarterback position as the draft's around the corner and training camp will be here before we know it?
Well, the belief is that Willis will continue to develop. Now, whether or not that's the best decision is up to the person that, you know, you ask. But that is the belief. And talking to Mike Vrabel, talking to Tim Kelly, and talking to Rand Carthon, they've all said that, obviously, you can take it for what it is, right? It's coming to the building and you know, doing the things that you could do now, it only has so much value. But they've all said that, you know, they like what they've seen from him so far. They feel that there's promise. So, to me, that means that he's going to be the backup. But also what tells even more is the fact that Josh Dobbs went to the Browns for, like, $2 million mm-hmm. deal. Like, it wasn't impactful at all. A backup quarterback on a $2 million salary that could come in and start for you in a pinch like you did, I think there's value there. So if you believe that you don't have a backup in Malik Willis, you don't let the Josh Dobbs situation happen where he goes to Cleveland. So that tells me they feel that, that Willis will be all right.
Surely that's not the Titans' plan.
Willis as their backup?
Yes.
Hey, you never know. I mean, unless I'm not going to completely rule it out.
I'm not ruling it out.
Because, you know, he was a rookie last year, and I think a lot of people, the problem was, is that in situations typically like that, when you are a third round, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round guy, even if the starter gets hurt, you're not coming in the game. Because why? They are trying to develop you as a player. Not too many times, even in Purdy's situation, it took for two quarterbacks to go down. And from what we've heard, they even called Ben Roethlisberger to see if he would come out of retirement before they chose to go with Brock Purdy. Why? Because in their mind, he wasn't ready to play, and they didn't want to damage him as a player. He comes in, and he plays great, but that doesn't happen every time. The only reason we are so scared, because we saw Willis too early, and we saw him at his worst. We didn't see him after 2 years of sitting behind the starter, developing, and then coming in. I'm sure we would have seen a much different quarterback. But because we seen the rookie guy that was a project and we saw him play and it looked bad, all of a sudden it's like, throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's throw it all out. Well, the Titans are probably thinking, let's pump the brakes on this, okay? Let's give this guy, let's see if he develops more. We got a new quarterback's coach, a new offensive coordinator. Let's see what happens in the offseason going into the preseason. Has he made that jump that we believe he should make going into his second year? You wasn't supposed to see him at all this year. We weren't supposed to see how bad he was this year.
That was a mistake.
Exactly. But for whatever reason, they chose to make him the backup. And we saw how bad he was at his lowest. So we can't just all of a sudden – I could see if he had been in a year, at least 3 or 4 years, and he came out and did that. It was like, we got to get rid of this guy. But, people, it was his first year. And he was already a project. And I'm sure when you're a GM, you can't think what the fans think. You can't think how we think on the radio or what other show hosts may say. This guy's crappy. He sucks. He can't – no, he wasn't supposed to play. We know that he's a project, but we saw him at his worst. And the Titans are hoping that next year, this offseason, gives him the opportunity to get better.
The way the league has chosen to develop quarterbacks is the dumbest thing they've got going. It's a pretty smart league. They make a lot of money. It's a good business. But we said it over and over again. The way that they set it up for quarterbacks to fail is so obvious. And teams, I guess, do have the choice. They could keep three quarterbacks if they wanted to, but it'd be a simple rule change. Go back to the third quarterback as a designation so everybody could keep three. But you're right. They threw Malik Willis to the wolves last year, and the reason was they didn't want to keep three quarterbacks. They could have kept the security blanket, had a different backup, but there's salary cap restrictions and things like that. But Malik Willis was very hurt in his development because he had to play before he was ready. And that was a mistake that the Titans made. So I agree. I'm not willing to throw him out, but they're faced with the same choice. If you're only keeping two quarterbacks, you're either going to cut Malik Willis or you're going to draft another guy or you're going to sign another veteran. It's not a good choice. You need to keep three.
I think you need three. And Demas, to your point, I am not throwing out the idea that Malik Willis could have made leaps and bounds in his development in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Not throwing out the idea that the quarterback he is now might be different or better than the quarterback he was when we saw him against the Kansas City Chiefs. But also, and I don't know what's going on behind closed doors. I don't see his development. I don't know. They know. The Titans know. But if you're going to set yourself up in a situation where, again, you hope that Malik Willis will be ready or you hope that Malik Willis is developed, what happens when, knock on wood, Ryan Tannehill does something to his ankle? Ryan Tannehill breaks his leg. All knock on all the wood. That doesn't happen. But what if that happens? And then now Malik Willis is your starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. Can you just hope that Malik Willis is ready for that?
And no. I'm not saying that, you know, that you're wrong from that aspect, because I think I would rather have a veteran guy as a backup right now. Yeah. Rather than Malik Willis. Even if he has developed a little bit more, even if things are starting to look good with him, I still would rather have a veteran backup, because I don't want to have to relive in any way. Well, I don't want him to have to relive in any way, because the minute, even if he has progressed, Willie and Caroline, the minute he messes up, everybody's going to be, see, I told you he wasn't ready. See, I told. No, I would rather have a veteran backup, somebody that has been in the league a while, somebody that has started a few games here and there, that understands how this thing operates. I think even after this offseason, I don't think he still will be fully ready to take on what needs to be had to be a quarterback in this league. I think it's going to, because he was so far behind, I believe, development-wise, as a quarterback in his league, I think it's going to take him all of this offseason, all of next season, and then that next following season, I think he'll be ready to be a legitimate backup quarterback in this league, if not a starter somewhere, you know, not necessarily here, but maybe somewhere. I've seen weirder things and stranger things. Guy come in and 1 year he's awful, then the next year it's like, man, this dude, whatever he's doing, it's working.
I'm not really ready to abandon Malik Willis after just 1 year, but I would like a little bit more insurance, because the absolute worst possible case scenario of your quarterback getting hurt, the Titans realized that last season, and they didn't have that insurance there. I think it's best for his development if there's some insurance there.
Exactly.
It's best for the Titans if there's a little bit of a veteran insurance there. And I feel like there's this idea that you can't carry three quarterbacks. Why? I mean, maybe not the majority of NFL teams do it, but why not? Why? If that's best for your team.
I would have done it last
year.
It would have been better to do it last year. Mm-hmm. No question. You know what? It's really interesting to think about. When they drafted Malik Willis, it was obvious that he was going to need extra time to develop. But they just, I don't know, I just did not like how he ended up having to play the way that he did. And look, they're in the same predicament, because there's a higher probability than there's ever been that Ryan Tannehill is going to get injured again with his age and now the piling up of injuries. It may not happen. I hope he plays 17 games, but there is a higher probability that he's going to miss some games. So you're going to be right back in this boat.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want the Titans to make the same mistake 2 years in a row. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, I'm going to give something away. And this is a good one. This is one that I wish that I could qualify to win, because these are some a pretty good giveaway. We will get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game. And hey, Nashville's best deal of the week is from Hotworks in Goodlettsville. Open 24/7 in their infrared virtually LED sauna classes. Choose from Hot Cycle, Hot Blast, Hot Thunder, Hot Yoga, Hot Bar None, and so much more. And right now you can join for just $39 in time for their grand opening on April 1st. That is $60 off at thegamenashville.com/deals. Get more workout and less time at Hotworks. The Preds have a home game tomorrow night, and it is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, then you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate in Pick to Click tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. with Robbie and Rex Road. Promised a giveaway, and a giveaway we will do.
Give it to me.
The first person with the correct answer to Willie's trivia question, and you will get the opportunity to see Queen and Adam Lambert at Bridgestone Arena on October 25th. Willie, take it away.
All right. here in Pittsburgh flavored trivia. How about this? There are a couple of schools that are Division I, but maybe not at the tip of your tongue when you think Division I schools. It's kind of like, if I were doing a Pittsburgh show and I asked about the nicknames for Middle Tennessee and Belmont. So I'm going to go the opposite. Here in Nashville, can you name the nicknames of Duquesne and Robert Morris? Pittsburgh area Division I schools. What are the nicknames? Robert Morris and Duquesne. 615-737-1025. Got to be quick. Got to be quick. And don't text. If you text, you might be right. You're not going to win the tickets.
The Stains from Duquesne.
Is that right?
I don't know. I don't know.
Derek, you'll appreciate this. You remember the Lakers, right? Uh-huh. Of course, a lot of people might have watched the Showtime. It's kind of fiction. They took too many liberties, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It was kind of fun to watch it anyway. What was it called? The HBO
it was
program?
Called, was it Showtime? No, it wasn't Showtime. God, I forgot the name of it. But I think they're doing another season of it,
which I'm not sure I'm prepared for. But, mm-hmm. Norm Nixon, the great point guard, who, of course, ends up being right at the center of, the show because they drafted Magic Johnson, right, mm-hmm. who's a point guard. So they had to figure out a way to get Norm Nixon and Magic Johnson to work together. But Norm Nixon played for Duquesne back in the day. So mm-hmm. Duquesne's got a pretty good team. They're in the eight. Morris, this is their Pittsburgh trivia. 615-737-1025.
That was a good one, Willie. And a really good giveaway. Again, the first person with the correct answer to Willie's trivia question will get a pair of tickets to see Queen and Adam Lambert at Bridgestone Arena on October 25th. I had no idea that Queen was still touring, but I love to hear it, and I would love to see Queen. But I want to get to this point because the NFL owners' meetings were in Phoenix this week, and they were discussing a whole lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And a lot of stuff is just kind of like snooze fest, clock management or certain, little minute details about penalties, things that do matter in the grand scheme of the game, but things that I don't think that any of us or you listening are really too interested in getting into the nitty-gritty of. But there is one interesting proposal that was talked about at the NFL owners' meetings, and it had to do with Thursday night football, because there is now a rule that would allow games to be flexed into Thursday night kickoff. Mm-hmm. Now, not every team would be required to play a Thursday night game, and every team would be allowed to play a maximum of two short week games, meaning you play on Sunday and then you play on Thursday. But it also clarifies that playing 2 weeks in a row on Thursday would not be considered a short week game. So even though there's a maximum of two short week games, you could play four or five Thursday night games because you would play Thursday and then the next Thursday and then the next Thursday. Mm-hmm. But this would allow games on Thursday night to be flexed, meaning if there is, two total stinkers of teams scheduled to be on Thursday, and there's a really good game that's scheduled to be on Sunday afternoon, you could flex that good game into Thursday night football and move that clunker of a game, that stinker of a game, into a less premier national time slot. Now, there's a whole lot of pushback on that. And I understand both sides of it, but mm-hmm. there's one, John Mara said, at some point, can we please give consideration to people who are coming to our games, which is fair. When the NFL schedules come out, I like to see, what's a big game here? What's a good game there? I know I'm not alone in that. A mm-hmm. lot of people look at the schedules and say, my team is playing the Titans on November 15th. Let's make a trip to Nashville, mm-hmm. get the hotels, get the tickets. We'll make all of these plans, travel accommodations, and we'll go to Nashville for the game. And then, surprise, the week before it's flexed into Thursday night. Now we can't go. So that's one side of it.
Flexing these Thursday night games 5, 7, maybe even 10 years ago was great. Because why? Because it was new and people wanted to play on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And it was like, everybody's watching me. Thursday night games now are not that glamour spot to players or to fans anymore, because even if you flex out of what they deem too poorly teams, you're still not going to get a good game on Thursday. It's been proven, regardless of who you put in that time slot, which team you put in that time slot, You're not going to get the game you would have gotten on a Sunday after a full week's rest. So this whole notion of, okay, let's start flexing teams out. No, because just because you flex a good team in there, what if that good team is dealing with injuries? You know, now because they got to do it in enough time where these teams, where people can make changes and everything else. Now, what if this team, their starting quarterback, you didn't flex it, their starting quarterback's out now. What are you going to do next? Flex it back? Yeah. No, if you put a team on a Thursday night, because Thursday night is not a glamour night anymore because players don't like playing on Thursdays anymore.
And everyone gets one. Exactly. That's what's special.
Absolutely. So if it's not like Thursday Thanksgiving games, everybody loves that because only a few teams play on that day. But if you're talking flexing, I just don't think it's a way to go because I don't think the ball is going. It's not going to be that good anyway. Again, because guys are coming off Sundays and then have to turn right back around and play on Thursday. So whoever it is, and I guarantee you, those players do not like it. Like, oh, all of a sudden, I was looking forward. Now I got to play on a Thursday. What if we played a hard-fought game, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, or the Titans and Pittsburgh, or the Titans and Baltimore? They played on a Sunday. And you know how physical those games are. And you're telling me if I'm the Titans, I got to turn right back around because I'm doing well and you flexing me into a Thursday game? No, I don't want that. No player wants that. Coaches don't want that.
And that's the other side of it as well, is it doesn't just not accommodate for fans and doesn't also make it more difficult for fans to plan to come to games and always have that underlying, you know, nerve of, well, I want to go to this game, but I don't know when it's going to be in reality. So it doesn't help the fans, and I don't think it helps the players either. I mean, from your perspective, Derek, I mean, playing on Sunday and then Thursday.
That's tough.
That's hard on your body. That's really difficult. And to not be mentally prepared for that going into a season or going into a game on Sunday and saying, okay, we got this game, then we also got a game on Thursday. We got a quick turnaround this week. Practice is built differently. The schedule of the week is different. That's hard on your body. That's hard mentally. That's hard on everyone involved that has to schedule the weeks and has to schedule the season so far in advance. And for that to easily be flexed, I don't think it's fair to the fans. I don't think it's fair to the players. I don't think it's fair to coaches. And the NFL claims that those are the three groups and the three parties that they prioritize, when in reality, I'll be honest with y'all, this sounds to me like Amazon said, hey, Roger, we're paying you billions of dollars to have your games on our streaming site. And we got stuck with that Denver Broncos, Indianapolis Colts, absolute dog poop of a game on our airwaves, on our streaming service. We don't want that anymore. We're paying you billions of dollars. We want the ability to flex better games onto our streaming site so we have more quality games and more eyes on our streaming site. And Roger's like, look, all right, you're paying us money. Fine, we'll do it.
Hey, Roger.
Don't act like it's about the fans.
You got to stand up for your people, though. You got to stand up for your players. You got to stand up for your fans. You got to tell Amazon to go stick it.
He's not. When Amazon said that, you know what he heard? Must be the money. He heard that Deion Sanders song playing in his head. He was like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do whatever you want to do if indeed that was the case. So.
It stinks, though. Yeah. Look, Major League Baseball fans get upset when Major League Baseball flexes a Sunday afternoon game to the Sunday night baseball. And that's just a few hours. But if you, like you said, Caroline, if you plan a weekend trip to play at night and then Sunday afternoon and flying back on Sunday night and they move that game to Sunday night, you're screwed. So it's even worse when they move a game to Thursday. I mean, it's just not looking at – fans do that all the time. We see what happens in Nashville. You get waves of the other team's fans coming in, making a weekend out of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it kind of feeds into the narrative that I think fans have, maybe players might have, coaches might have. That I understand the NFL's a business.
It's about the money.
It's about money. It's a money-making organization. And it is not NFL.gov. Yeah. You know,
exactly.
Like they make money off of these games. But once you start to prioritize money over your players, over your coaches, over your fans on several different occasions, that's when you start to have a little bit more distrust in the organization.
Yeah,
that's when
then,
the integrity of the shield
then.
Is
compromised.
Come up
with a plan to compensate compensate your fans then? If you move the game, there needs to be a program where the fans can get their money back or make accommodations. Make it right with the fans if you're going to do that.
One texter texts in and says, you're a bunch of crying babies. These guys are getting paid more money. He uses another word other than babies, but FCC exists. These guys are getting paid more money than most people will see in their lives to play one day a week. They'll get over it. It's an awfully shut up and dribble approach to
I hate people like that. And I'm going to say that. I'm not going to say hate because that's a strong word. I dislike people like that. I really do. They irritate me. So I'm just going to say that. That person, I'm glad they did text in and I want them to text in more. But comments like that does irritate me. It really does.
Keep your mouth shut.
It irritates me because it's essentially what you said, Caroline. Shut up, dribble. Shut up, throw the ball. Shut up, run the ball. Shut up, you know, hit the hockey puck. Shut up, don't let no goals go in the net. That's essentially what it's saying. And that is far from, you don't know athletes if that's the approach you're going to take. You don't know what they put their bodies through. Yes, they get paid handsomely. Believe me, they do. They earned it. They go out there. Only a few can do this, whether it's basketball, baseball, football, hockey. Only a few can do it. It's a hard sport mentally, physically, emotionally. These guys need their day off, okay? So don't hit us with these guys. That's old and tired. That was played out 15, 20 years ago. We don't operate in that space no more. Because everybody earns, for the most part, what they're making. And these guys work extremely hard. Coaches, players, people that work in that building work extremely hard. So don't just say, oh, shut up. They make enough money. They shouldn't be whining. No, that's not the case.
And let's not forget, it's not just about the players.
Exactly.
It's about the concession stand workers in the stadium. It's about the security guards that man the parking lots at the stadium. It's about the production people at the networks that are in charge of all of this stuff. It's not just about the players. Let's not forget that there are hundreds of thousands of people that go into making sure that a Sunday game day or a Thursday game day, whatever it might be, goes off without a hitch. So let's calm down on that a little bit. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Predators did last night what I thought was pretty darn close to impossible, and they did it for the city of Nashville. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Bill Tomasino works the right side for Nashville. Back to Fabro, who quickly shovels over to the left. And a shot of the score! Cody Glass! The Predators take a 1-0 lead here with a minute 49 to go in period number two. Charlie McAvoy fired down ice. And that one is going to go into the empty net. 79 seconds left. The Predators extend their lead to 2-0 with an empty net goal. And the Nashville Predators knock off the Bound for History Boston Bruins here tonight. 2-1, the final score.
This is what the Predators were facing last night. They're without Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi, Ryan Johansson, of course, as we know. They're without Matt Duchene. It's with a bunch of young guys, a bunch of newbies into the league. On the road, at Boston, at TD Garden, against the best team in the NHL, the Boston Bruins, who were playing David Pastrnak, Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, Jake DeBrusk. They're four leading scorers. That's what the Predators were facing. Added on to the adversity and the pain that they were carrying with themselves, and I know they were carrying with them from Nashville to Boston, they go into TD Garden and they get a win against the big bad Boston Bruins, a 2-1 win. Now, I never want to overstate a win or overstate a loss and talk about, especially in hockey, and you know, every game matters, but it's you know, a loss isn't going to ruin your season and a win isn't going to propel you to the President's Trophy. But that game last night had a little bit of poetic justice to it. I was so impressed with what I saw from some of those young guys. The young guys that went out there and played like they have been playing in the league for years. They've been playing with so much poise, especially when they're playing against hockey players that have been in the league for this long, and they probably grew up with posters of them on their walls when they were kids, and they went in with that kind of poise and that kind of toughness and that kind of fire. When UC Saros was just playing out of his freaking mind, even when he was peppered with pucks all night long, I was so impressed from what I saw from the Predators last night, and I was so proud of that team in Boston last night.
it's really what gives you that great feeling as a sports fan, right? That's kind of how we opened the show, how sports can – what sports can do, really, to have that common experience. I love how the team channeled it. If you haven't watched the gesture by Roman Josi and the team after the game, after they won, where they dedicated the win to the city, I thought that, you know, you really should watch that. That would it'll warm your heart a little bit and make you feel a little bit better. And as for the team, you know, their first line last night is Igor Afanasyev, Cody Glass, and Phil Tomasino. Three young guys, and they're going up against one of the best teams. You know, by the end of the year, they could have the most points of any team in one season. They could be that good, the Bruins. And that's the line that generates the goal. And who was on the ice who got the assist? Ryan McDonagh, another guy that, you know, just poured his heart out yesterday. He had a great gesture with the young man. He joined us on the show a little bit earlier on Chase and Michelle. Just saw Ryan McDonagh in the airport. Ryan McDonagh stayed back to be with his family for an extra night after what happened in our city. Comes up, he makes this kid's day. This kid will never forget that. He got to announce the starting lineup to the team in the locker room just out of nowhere. And Ryan McDonagh assists on that goal that you heard Pete call that gave Nashville the advantage. So what a night. Just what a great special night.
It's a very special night indeed. That's going to do it for us today. Chase McCabe and Adam Vingan are up next with Stillman & Company. We will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Be love and love on somebody. Peace.